by for Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors with your host, Drew Kirby.
Hey, this is Luke Holmes.
I am Morgan Wallen.
I'm Riley Green.
I'm Travis Denning.
Hey, I'm Aaron Lewis.
Hey, it's Luke Bryan.
I'm Tim McGraw.
What's up? This is Ian Munsick.
Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the show. My name is Drew Kirby, your host, and every week we talk to Janet Millick from Wyoming Game and Fish and a whole cast of characters. But Janet, this week we have a question that was sent in by a guy whose wife wants to start hunting this year. And the question is there still time to take Hunter Ed and to get those over-the-counter tags? And I think it's probably, yes, you probably can, right?
Right now is an absolutely fantastic time to take hunter education courses. There are lots being offered. They're being offered at different times throughout the summer. And so it is a great opportunity to get your child or yourself, if you need it, qualified for that hunter ed class so that you don't miss your hunt.
Now, we've got a lot of opportunities for education. You know, we've talked about boater education, and all this can be found at WGFD.YO.gov, but when we're into the hunting and preparing for hunting, teaching the kids, and we've talked about the apprentice programs where, you know, you don't have to have that hunter education. If you want to go hunting, you just have to go with someone that does. You know, when you get into the bones of it all, where it really is down deep, it's good to just knock those education programs out and kind of, you know, just cross them off your list.
Well, you know, those education programs, a lot of what you're talking about, the hunter safety, hunter education in particular, really is a good avenue to really, you know, kind of answer some of those questions that maybe you don't know. So for example, you know, as a parent or as a hunting mentor, you know, you clearly recognize that the person that you're with, whether it's your child or, you know, somebody else, you are teaching them, you know, by your actions, by your experience with them while you are out, from the time that they're little until the time that they are of age to hunt as well. And so those interactions are always very critical and great opportunities to kind of be educating, you know, here's how, you know, I like to sit when I'm antelope hunting, or here's how I fire, you know, my steadiest shot while I'm elk hunting, something along those lines that really kind of help your kids understand there are different ways to do things and your way may not be the best for them. And so coming to these hunter education classes can maybe offer them a little bit more of that information that they might be looking for to just build on the perfect background that you've given them as a mentor.
You know, we've talked a lot over the last couple of months, and Brian, when you're in a situation like preparing for hunting, you always want to make sure that you're prepared for everything, and you don't just shoot, you know, sitting in a chair or using a stand or a rest when you're out in the field. So having some situational type of situations is always a good idea.
Yeah, most certainly. You know, field experience is the easy way to do that, but also preparing for that field experience you can do at your local shooting range, which actually gives you benches to actually have there to start out. And then if you have a bipod or a tripod that you want to try, that's the best place to do it. You know what? Laying down, doing all that kind of stuff, you can certainly do that in the field. But if you actually go to a location like a shooting range where you have targets and things like that, you can actually, you know, get ready for those type of things. And then you, all those other things that you throw into it too, Drew, in a hunting season is, you know, the weather, you know, make sure you don't sit in prickly pear, you know, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, so you have to have those different shooting positions just for that reason type of thing. So.
And, you know, one thing I think that people, parents, I know that I kind of did, I don't know what you want to say. Maybe I under assumed the amount of emotion that would be involved in my children's first hunts. And so, you know, recognizing the excitement, the nerves, all of that kind of came into play right at the time that maybe you're just expecting them to be calm and collected and know exactly what to do, that is not the time to be explaining to them, oh, here's where the safety is on the gun. Here's what the scope does. So making sure that you do all of that stuff well in advance, you practice many times out in the field or at a gun range, depending on what you're most comfortable with. And really kind of think through what the different situations might be, like Brian was saying, you know, the weather, what happens when it's snowing and you haven't moved for the last hour and here comes the perfect elk. You know, different things like that are really, really key, especially when you're dealing with youth.
And Drew, I think another thing you think about is boredom. Kids are like all that like instant gratification stuff, so they get really bored. So in those time periods, that's things that you can do when you're in the field is actually practice those things. Like, hey, let's use this rock if there's an animal on the other side, you know, to kind of practice that kind of thing. Going through packs, you know, to make sure they got everything they need before they go, and then maybe taking that out in the field and going through things. And man, when you're having kids that come out and hunt with you, you got to bring good food, good snacks, Drew. If you don't have good snacks,
oh yeah,
during the boarding times of the day, it can go way downhill. It's like, hey, it's time to go home type of thing. So hunting, just like fishing, sometimes can get pretty boring. And if you can just think of things to do while they're in the field to make it more interesting for them, because, you know, once they pull the trigger and the harvest's over, then the work starts and then it's done. So there's a lot more to hunting than just the, you know, the all that super exciting stuff and emotional stuff after the, you know, after the harvest. But boy, hunting has a lot more to do with everything else than that. That's for sure.
Before the season, how much can you actually go out and, you know, kind of prepare in the field? I know there are some areas that you have to have the permission and you have to have the slips to be able to go to. But if you're feeling like you're going to go hunt in a certain area, how far in advance can you actually go and kind of take your kid and say, well, this is kind of where we're going to go and this is how you do your scouting and, you know, you kind of get into that situation that way?
I think it's a great idea. I mean, there's so much, you know, we're kind of blessed here in Wyoming and a lot of central and western Wyoming and parts of eastern Wyoming too, of public land that's available year round, and do some scouting. I think that's perfect. Now for your access areas, most of those, if not all those, don't open up until the season starts. And that's why we have those, that information online, to make sure you know when that actual area opens. So, but otherwise, for a lot of the areas, there's public land to go walking around and preparing yourself, you know, so your hunting partners, your kids that are going with you, you can actually go out and do a little quote unquote practicing, you know, spotting scopes and binoculars and looking at critters and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, there's no limit on when you can go out on public land, as long as it's publicly accessible, to go do scouting for the upcoming hunting season.
So just really getting out and, you know, kind of breaking the kids in, and even yourself, if you're new to hunting or new to the outdoors, it's always a good idea to research. Don't just, you know, buy the license and then grab a gun and go. There's a lot of pre-work that goes into it.
Yeah. Take advantage of the nice days. I mean, early mornings, later in the day when things are a little bit cooler during the summer days, and go do on some hikes and stuff. I think it's a great opportunity to get some exercise, get ready for the hunting season, and then make sure you find out if you got the right equipment or need some other equipment that you might like to have during the hunting season. So I think it's a great idea to go out and scout those areas that you plan to hunt this coming fall.
Well, make sure that if you are interested, of course, we talked last week that the leftover licenses are first come, first serve now, and the general tags are available through the end of the season. So if hunting is something that you really want to get into, you still have time even before the season begins.
Absolutely. I mean, there's plenty of time. And like I say, if you missed all those other drawings and you still want to go out hunting and have no idea where to go, contact your local game warden, biologist, or come to our game and fish office. And we'd be glad to help you get to that point where you feel a little bit more comfortable about where to go, what licenses you need to buy. We can help you out when the season starts. If you're an archery hunter, we can actually get you involved in, you know, getting the information that you need for that when those season starts and where's the best places to go. So we're here to help. We want you to be successful, so you can be a lifetime hunter and And I think that's one of those important things is preparation for the upcoming hunting season.
Well, I know that if you go to wgfd.wild.gov, you have plenty of resources. And as always, you can just call the Game and Fish Department and they'll get you all hooked up with the information you need and point you in the right direction to get you in those classes. So, Janet, Brian, we appreciate it again, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Drew.
See you, Drew.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
It's Drew and Brian from Rocky Mountain Discount Sports. And Brian, it is a beautiful time of year. Boy, we've actually had some good weather the last few days, able to get out and kind of explore a little bit because, you know, not raining and not 900 degrees. But I think we're about to hit that 900 degrees again.
Yeah, the weather has been nice if you like the hot weather. But, you know, I certainly like spending some time up in the high country this time of year and where it's, you know, 10, 15 degrees cooler.
Yeah, and I know that you've been doing some riding. You got the side-by-side out. You went out and explored down to Saratoga. That's kind of an interesting area.
Yeah, we spent the weekend down at the Saratoga Hot Springs and did a bunch of trail riding and just spent some time with friends and had a great time.
Now, you bought this GPS system, which as soon as you bought it, I kind of looked it up and I'm like, oh, no, I got to get one of those now. And, you know, we talk a lot about GPS systems here in the store where you got them and you can use them and it helps you if you get in the backcountry.
Yeah, this particular unit was I was kind of tipped off by a customer that was looking for one. So, you know, if you're going to order one, you might as well order two. And, you know, he uses it a lot for backcountry just motorbiking. And so I thought, you know, this would be a great time to test it out. It's the Garmin Tread, and mounted it into the side-by-side and shows all the backcountry trails and all kinds of stuff. And you can pair it to your phone and it's got way more features than I could even discuss, but it's pretty cool.
So this time of year is a great time to get out because there's, you know, it's hot, so you may not want to go out and fish too much in the afternoon. So, you know, evening time is great to go riding and all that. So making sure that you have all the stickers that you need and all the, you know, the processes that you need done.
Yeah. ORV tags, you know, we're selling about 10 a day. So, I mean, there's a lot of people out there playing and, but make sure that, you know, especially going into hunting season, if you're using your side by side or your ATV for, that backcountry, you know, pack out or whatever, make sure you've got all the appropriate tags. And we've got the ORV tags. We'll have snowmobile tags here probably in the next month. And then of course, all the state park passes, county, you know, that kind of stuff. You know, swinging here, we can help you get taken care of.
So one thing we were talking about is, you know, getting prepared for hunting season and even camping and hiking and trail riding, having that emergency kit or maybe having a couple bags of food with you is a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, it's always good, especially going into the winter months, to have a little bit of a survival, you know, whether it's a shovel mm-hmm. to help dig yourself out or jumper cables or whatever. But, you know, to have a little jet boil with, you know, some Mountain House or Peak Refuel, you know, if you do get stuck and you, you know, heat up some water, throw it in a bag and you got yourself a meal to get you through.
And it really, it's almost like a smorgasbord out there. You look, it's one full wall of options.
Yeah, I mean, it's no longer just like one or two choices of like, it's not the chili mac and, you know, biscuits and gravy for breakfast. I mean, there's, especially on like the Peak Refuel, there's some specialty ones that are, you know, they come out seasonally. So like there's an elk or a bison stew this year and a few other different ones. So, I mean, they're definitely worth testing out. We've had a couple of samples here at the store, and they're really pretty good.
You have to buy them to sample them. You can't just open them up
no, right,
time in
right.
the store.
Yeah, don't be starting the stove in the back corner there.
So, you know, you start thinking about other things that you would have in that survival bag or your backpack when you're heading out for a hiking trip or a hunt. You know, you look at sleeping bags and all the things that you need, and you guys have them here.
Yeah, you know, this time of year we're selling a lot of cots, a lot of foam pads, air pads, air mattresses. But then, you know, the guys are really, I've seen a lot of backpacks going out the door lately. So Mystery Ranch and Stone Glacier, Badlands packs, you know, whether you're going in just for a short day hike or whether you're packing in or you want something that can pack out, you know, quarters of elk at a time, we've got them. And the Stone Glacier and the Mystery Ranch, man, some of those packs are super technical. I mean, they're really designed more lightweight and more functional, so that, you know, you can have a nice meat shelf on there where you just go ahead and put your game right inside there, and makes life a lot easier for you.
You know, they're so advanced these days, because you get bulk like that, and if you have the one with the racks or, you know, the brace support, I mean, it really does a big difference when you have those.
Yeah, if you can put the weight on your hips and not on your shoulders, I mean, it makes life a lot easier. And then, you know, these packs anymore, they just evenly distribute weight, you know. So, you know, you can bend over and that pack's not just going to fall off your shoulder, you know, like the old school packs. So definitely worth coming in, trying them on, fit, run around the store, jump up and down, do what you got to do, you know, make sure that they feel good.
Another thing we need to focus on now is, I know I was just looking at my boots, and my boots are starting to wear through. It's starting to be where they're not as comfortable as they were last year when I got them. And I've probably, you know, you think about all the walking you do through 1 year. Mm-hmm. Give us some ideas on, you know, a boot. So if you're going out like we did last year, where we didn't have to go too far off the beaten path,
right,
but we were still, you know, like rucking around there.
Well, obviously, I don't think that there's a one boot fits all needs. You know, there's a, you know, most time I'm looking for something that's going to give me good ankle support, because that seems like that's where most guys get into trouble. You know, few knee issues, right? You know, but you know, if you don't have good ankle support and you twist an ankle in the field, it's real tough. So early season, we see a lot of like a Danner that are more of like the nylon, maybe a little bit of leather, you know, stitching on them. But they're more lightweight and functional for like not needing any insulation to them, you know. So like maybe just be a very low, like a 400 gram insulation. But then as you move into the hardcore winter months, you might want an all leather boot, you know, like an Elk Tracker or one of those types of boots where it's full leather construction, more waterproof, and then as you get into, you know, January, February, if you're, you know, the guy that's out there chasing coyotes and stuff, you're going to wear a nice pair of mucks or a bog boots, you know, just a big rubber boot. Or, you know, a lot of times we wear those when we're out duck hunting as well.
Right.
So, you know, you kind of have to have multiple levels of boots and layers of boots, but to be able to get them, try them on, you know, fit them with the socks you're going to be wearing, make sure that they're going to be a good fit for you. And like we've talked in the past, you know, like there is a break-in period on these things, you know. Mm-hmm. You can't just, you know, tomorrow I'm going on a 15-mile hike and you're going to throw these boots on, and, you know, that's not the time to break them in.
Yeah, that's going to be painful, because you're going to have it all over your blisters and everything. But I know that, you know, some people will go online and they'll be like, okay, this is the kind of boot that I want, and they'll order them. They don't fit right. They don't work right. That's one of the advantages of having the store and having everything that, you know, that you need to make sure you have the right size and the right style.
You know, and we battle that a lot with consumers where, you know, maybe they're just shopping from home because it's just convenient. But, mm-hmm. you know, in the long run, a lot of times, you know, they're coming back to us. Well, I bought these on Amazon. You know, can you just exchange them for me? Well, no, we really can't, you know. I mean, but if you bought them here, we're going to do everything we can to, you know, make sure we get you the right size and the right width. We're going to make sure that they're a good fit for you, and we'll be able to go a little bit further to help you out in that situation. So we try to be very competitive with a lot of those online stores. However, you know, when you're dealing with some guy that's selling stuff out of his garage and he's willing to sell it at cost, you know, that's not why we're here.
Yeah, so come on in and check them out at Rocky Mountain Discount Sports. And if you're an archery hunter, now's the time to get those bows sighted in and ready to roll.
Yeah, we're less than 2 weeks from opener antelope, you know, for archery, and you know, almost a month, you know, before our elk seasons open up. So if you haven't got your new arrows, got a new rest, made sure your broadheads are good, all that type of stuff. If you're going to order a string, you need to do it like ASAP, you know. Crossbow strings, you know, a lot of guys overlook that. You know, they've been sitting in a closet, and this is the first year they drew tag in 3 years. So, you know, don't expect that string's still going to be good. So get that opened up and get some new strings ordered. If you have a Raven, we carry most of those strings in stock, so we can get those swapped out for you. But yeah, plan ahead, because the season's going to be here sooner than we know it.
Absolutely. Get in here, check them out, and don't wait until the day before season to shoot it because it's, you know, again, it could be bounced around and everything. But get in here, check them out, Rocky Mountain Discount Sports.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
Drew and Brian back at Rocky Mountain Discount Sports. And, of course, if you've missed any of our episodes over the last few years, you can check them out in our radio station's app because, well, we want to make sure that you hear them all. And get over there and check that out. And also you can go to RockyMountainSports.com if you want to check and see what the store has. And you guys even have Facebook pages here.
Yep, all the social media stuff. You know, we use Facebook most of the time just to kind of show new products and that type of stuff. But, yeah, and the Rocky Mountain Sports website, that obviously has some of the inventory in our store, but it has a lot more of stuff that's available just through our different warehouses that we're paired up with.
Get over there and check it out. Again, RockyMountainSports.com. Well, we're almost to the championship weekend for the Wyoming Walleye Stampede, and it's weird because it's been so fast. You know, we did three, like, boom, 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 and then there was a month in between, and it's already here. It's nuts.
Yeah, the whole month of July, we all just kind of played around and did things with our families and fished and whatever else, but no tournament stuff. So it's kind of weird, but coming down to the wire here this next weekend is the grand finale up at Pathfinder Reservoir. We've got our top 60 boats, qualifying boats from the three the top point standings of our first three events. And they had to fish all three in order to even qualify for this one. So we've got about $15,000 of added money that these guys are competing for. So a 60-team field is going to be competing like a 120-team payout.
Wow, how crazy is that?
Plus, we've got some great sponsors. We've got Vortex Optics, Burris. We've got Grizzly Coolers, Max Lures. We've got Do It Molds. Frank's Butcher Shop's got some gift cards in there. There's, I mean, just a ton of great product sponsors. And we're going to pay the top 10 cash, and then we're going to take all these other product sponsors, and we're going to pay down, you know, down to 20 or 22 places probably.
So it's going to be an interesting tournament. And I know that the Jay and the Walleye League has been out there rotating with Alcova every week, and this past week seemed to be pretty good for a lot of the anglers.
Well, I don't know if it was pretty good, but I mean, there was a winner and there was a bunch of losers.
Well, yeah, that's
true. I mean, the big fish of the last week was only 19.5 inches the last time they had it at Pathfinder. So we're not finding a lot of big fish. You know, I'm not even sure of all the weeks that they've ran that league if they've had, you know, anything over 25. I mean, I know there's some being caught. You know, I've talked to quite a few people in the store about that, but there's not a lot of them. And so people are really scratching their heads trying to figure out where these big fish are at. And we'll know, I guess, you know, next Sunday what the guys find out.
Yeah. So looking ahead to, you know, the forecast for next week, I mean, we're going to be in the upper 70s. We're going to be like we're in the early June you know, time frame, and maybe even some rain. So there's lots of things that could throw a wrench in the giddy up, and I think that adds a little excitement even more.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many different factors to even consider. You know, if it really is going to be 70 degrees, the water temperature is 70 degrees. I mean, of course, out there you've always got the wind to compete with. Water conditions, water clarity, and they're going to be filling up reservoirs downstream of us. So there's a lot of water coming out of Pathfinder right now. And so right now I would guess that we're going to probably see like a 4 to 6 foot drop in that reservoir. So some of these shallower bays where people have been fishing are going to be out of the question, and there's other structure that's going to be exposed and going to be fishable at that point.
When the water drops, it does kind of put a bummer on a lot of options. You know, you don't have as many places where you can go where normally you may catch fish. But so my family coming out the week after, and we're going to stay at Glendo for the week. And my stepdad's pretty excited about being able to fish out here in Wyoming. And, you know, he's like, well, you know, I'll do it like this. And I'm like, I can't wait to see you fail because, you know, you're trying to fish for catfish that you would do in the Midwest, and it's just not going to be the same.
You never know. We might learn something and we'd go, gosh, we've been doing it wrong all along. I mean, you just never know.
We were talking not long ago to some folks that are just in town and are heading out, and they were going out on the river to fish, and they said, well, the only thing we're taking is a can of corn.
Okay.
Which I've heard that in the past, yeah. that corn is the way
it used to be, but illegal. Now it's not, but I don't know that it's really effective either way. So, teach their own.
It's funny. You know, we've talked about this a lot, where everybody has their own methods and their own ideals about, you know, what works the best. And, you know, it's hard to argue when you see something working the best.
Right.
But when you have this mentality where it's like, oh, this is the way we're going, and I'm not going to change it up at all.
Yeah, I mean, we just kind of get set in our patterns. And, you know, to me, I really don't like dragging worm harnesses around. You know, if I was fishing a tournament, I probably would do whatever I have to do to catch fish. But if I'm just out there fun fishing, I would rather, you know, put a jig in my hand and cover every inch of that lake that way than, you know, sitting back and just pulling worm harnesses.
Yeah, we were talking about that the other day, where we're like, oh, man, we get out there and, when you're dragging the worm harnesses or your crankbaits or whatever, you know, you're active. Mm-hmm. But there's just something about casting out and reeling back that
Something about feeling that tick in your hand where, you know, it's like, you know, oh, there it is, you know, and setting that hook and then, you know, getting that fight where a lot of times when you're, you know, pulling a worm harness or a crankbait, you know, they're just there, you know, and you're just dragging them in at that point. So
some of the other places we haven't really talked much about, Seminole. I know last year one of the tournament stops was there, and there are a lot of people that are heading out of town because camping on Casper Mountain you can't do it this year.
Sure.
So they're going down and they're checking out places that, you know, like Seminole. And if someone was looking to go check out somewhere like that outside of where we normally go, what should they look for, you know, when they get out there? Because it's a little higher there than it is here, right?
Elevation-wise?
Yeah.
It is. But, you know, same thing. You're looking at water color, water clarity, water temperatures, and then you're looking for structure. And, you know, as you start, it's kind of hard to break down a lake, especially the size of Seminole or, you know, Pathfinder. But really, I mean, start off doing what you love doing. You know, if you're a jig fisherman, go hit, you know, the rocks. Then if they're not on the rocks, go try the sand. And if they're not on the sand or you can't find them on the sand, then maybe you throw a worm harness out and you troll until you find them. You know, it's really kind of the same program on most of our reservoirs. And it just have to kind of look and see. I always check the water conditions in terms of whether the water's rising or falling. Go to the Bureau of Rec website, and it'll tell you what the inflow and outflow is. If it's dropping, you know, I tend to fish a little deeper. And if the water's rising, I tend to go a little shallower. And, of course, if it's morning, the shallow bite tends to be a little better. But, you know, as the day goes on, those fish slide out just to get out of that sun and the heat. So
really, it's the same game. You just have to play the position.
Yeah, and you just kind of roll the dice, you know. I mean, you just have to get out there and just go fish. I mean, it's obviously you can talk to a lot of people, and, you know, some guys are going to tell you what's really working. But, you know, a lot of times they're like, oh, yeah, I caught him in the mouth, you know, and like, well, especially Seminole. I mean, it's such a big body of water. It's got, you know, that main lake, and then you've got the Medicine Bow arm that feeds it, and you also have the Platte River that feeds it. So, you know, you could fish the whole main lake one day and then one arm of the river the next day and one arm of the river the next day. It's just crazy.
You mentioned the water leaving, and Glendo has dropped below 50% at this point, with like 46%, maybe 47%.
Yeah.
And
right.
Have we heard, is that going to level off anytime soon, or?
Boy, I don't know. They, last week or so, maybe it was 2 weeks ago now, Guernsey, they had drained it completely down, and then they were just running silt through there. So they were pushing water through us. I saw as high as like 4,800 feet per second through Glendo and straight through Guernsey, just trying to get that silt off the bottom. But, right now the outflow at, Glendo is almost 5,000, 40 some thousand. So once they get Guernsey filled up, I'm guessing they're going to put the plug in it and, you know, either stabilize Glendo or bring it up a little bit further. But we're going to expect, you know, here in the fall, that's going to get down to 20%, and that's just kind of what happens.
Right. So if you're going to get out, make sure you're paying attention to everything, you know, there. And that's the, we talked about that too. If you've never fished there before, make sure to be careful.
Yeah, you know, our Wyoming reservoirs are not the type of reservoirs where you go 20 feet offshore and run the shorelines with your boat, you know. You know, you stay main lake, and even that doesn't necessarily save you. There's a lot of long points that come out. You know, obviously Pathfinder's got that big, they got a multiple big rocks out in the middle. So, you know, when you see those rocks, especially they're going to start becoming exposed now, you know, use your electronics, mark that waypoint as a hazard so that you know to stay away from it. Then when the water level's high next time, you know, if it's 10 feet over the top of that hump, you know, then maybe it's an area that you can go target for some fish. But, definitely don't be running these shorelines. And when you do start going into a shoreline, you know, use your electronics, use your bow mount, and be looking for those rocks.
Eyes open and eyes on your electronics. You sure don't want to smack one of those puppies.
No, there's been many a lower unit lost at Pathfinder.
Yeah, no kidding. So get out, enjoy what we have here, and stop in here first at Rocky Mountain Discount Sports.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
Thanks again for tuning in, and as always, you can hit us up in the radio station's app. If you have any questions or you want to just hear the interviews that we've done over the years, you can get that on demand. Now, we continue the show today with Dan Picard, who Dan is with Eastman's, has been on many hunting videos over the year, and we'll get into all of the videos he's done, but he's going to be part of the film festival that will be with the Dallas Safari Club, Wyoming, on Thursday, the 8th of August at Frontier Brewing. And we'll give you more details about that as we go along. But, Dan, I know that in all the videos you do, there's a lot of planning without being able to really plan for a lot of things, right?
There is. You just never know how a hunt is going to go down. You don't go into it with a script. Things just kind of fall in place, and not all films turn out the same or better than the last one. It's just the nature of it.
So when you're going into a filming of a hunt, there is that aspect of, man, what if I get in there and I don't see the elk that I want? Or, you know, I mean, you got to have everything kind of in line. It's got to work out for you. Is it tough sometimes?
Very difficult in this modern age of hunting. There's a lot of hunters out there, a lot of pressure. And so you have to do your homework. And still, no matter how much maybe intel you gather, how much scouting that you do, that doesn't mean that the hunt is going to be what you think it should be when you actually get in there and do it. And so there's that level of luck that you need on all hunts. But I think, you know, sometimes hunts don't go according to plan, and sometimes you do walk away with an uncut tag, and that's just the reality of it. And if it was called shooting, maybe you would, you know, get something every time, but it's not. It's hunting, and so success rate is usually never 100%.
You know, with Eastman's, you know, they have a plethora of resources to help a hunter kind of get through here. And, you know, Beyond the Grid has really gone different places. You go back through, and there are seasons all the way, what, back to like 2017. So it's not like this is a rookie process going on here. There's a lot of resources that go into it.
Yeah, most definitely. I've been working with Eastman's for 12 seasons now. And we started this digital series in 2017. And have hunted places from Tajikistan with Guy Eastman to, you know, Canada and Alaska and everywhere around the lower 48 and Hawaii. Try to travel around and just experience everything that a hunter can possibly experience and bring it to the viewer.
How many actual videos have you done in the 12 years that you've been doing it with Eastman?
Yeah, so usually I'll be in three or so a year, depending on what tags I draw or the adventures that I go on. But a three to five is pretty common, from bear hunts to deer hunts to sheep hunts, like oddad hunts in Texas, from Hawaii, axis deer, and then, of course, the Western big game stuff, deer, elk, antelope. So probably five a year for 13 years. So we're pushing upwards of probably 60 about by now.
It really has to be pretty interesting, especially when you have those options, you know, where, and that's what people also don't understand, is you're not guaranteed a tag just because you're shooting a video. I mean, it's you have to put in for the draw, you have to wait, you have to kind of see what you're going for. And it's nice to be able to get that big draw once in a while.
Yeah, it really is. And that's one thing that I definitely take pride in, is doing hunts that anybody can do. These are not, you know, something that I go out and pay for or the company pays for. I'm in the draws. I'm planning my own hunts. I hunt public land 97% of the time. A couple times I'll hunt private. But yeah, these are hunts that anybody can do. And my hope is that I can bring something to the viewer to maybe spark a fire in somebody and say, man, if you really put forth, you know, this sort of effort, there still are great things to be discovered on every hunt out there.
When you're out on a hunt, you know, no matter if it's elk or if it's bear, I mean, there's always that sense of adventure involved, and you're going out in some of the thickest, deepest, you know, rugged land that there is in the world. And a lot of that is right here in Wyoming, and being able to get out and explore those areas, how much in advance do you have to kind of scout around where you're going to go? Because it is such a far way back on a lot of these public hunts.
Yeah. Yeah. I do a variety of hunts. Sometimes I hunt close to the road from the truck hunts. And then other times I'm venturing, you know, 15 miles into the backcountry, where you really don't know what you're going to get into back there. And so you still have to do your homework, and you still have to gather intel and knowledge. And whether that's from scouting, that can definitely play a role back there, but talking to other hunters and networking and friends and family. You know, this day and age, it's very important to be connected and network with other hunters and bounce ideas off other hunters and maybe their experience somewhere in the past. And then you have something to offer them as well. I mean, that's usually the best way to do it, is to just gather as much information as possible. And especially on those limited entry tags, you know, sometimes, you know, draw odds are down into the 1-2% on some of these units. So that might be, you know, the one time in 20 years that you draw a tag. So doing your homework is so important to make sure you get the most out of your hunt.
When you put in for a hunt, are you automatically thinking, this is one I want an episode to come out on? Or, I mean, is it one of those where you wait until you get all of your draws and then you're like, okay, well, this could be my video for this time? Or are you videoing every one and just kind of picking out which one is going to be the episode?
Yeah. Every hunt that I go on, I have hopes that it will be an episode, or I plan on it being an episode. Sometimes it doesn't pan out, but every hunt I plan on it being an episode for sure. And so I always factor in the style of hunt that I'm going to go on, because, you know, I'm not going to go on a hunt if it doesn't have potential to be a great episode. That's the bottom line.
Right. So you've gone to a lot of different places to hunt. I mean, I'm not going to say you are partial to Wyoming hunts, but I mean, it has to be pretty exciting, especially when you don't have to fly out and or drive 12 hours.
Absolutely. You know, hunting in my home state, tags are a little bit easier to get, you know, being a resident of Wyoming compared to some of the other states. It's very difficult nowadays as a non-resident, but yeah, there's just something with Wyoming, the vastness and the grizzly bears and the wolves and all these factors that you have to take into account. But keeping that in mind, you also have a very high chance of finding maximum adventure. And that's really the draw for me to having that.
When you're hunting back deep, are you horsing it in or are you hoofing it in?
Yeah. Yeah. On these 8+ mile back hunts, I'm bringing horses, whether I'm packing myself or hunting with a buddy. But yeah, that's a huge factor back there, managing horses and hunting effectively. That's not easy either.
Yeah. Well, and that also has to be a benefit if, you know, of hunting close to home is you have that. You don't have to take the horses with you if you're going far.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's one thing, you know, I joke around about is I don't want to drive by elk to hunt elk. And what that means is I like to hunt close to home. We have great hunting here around Cody, Wyoming and Northwest Wyoming. And so I try to keep my elk hunting here close to home because there's really no need to travel to other parts of the state to find elk, but there are fantastic elk areas all over the state of Wyoming. So we're very, very lucky and spoiled.
Absolutely. Well, Eastman presents the film festival that's happening on the 8th here in Casper. And Dan, you're going to premiere one of your latest videos. And what are people going to see when they watch this video?
Yeah. So Eastman's, we're known for our Western big game hunting. So we're going to have a hunting film there, and that's going to be a elk hunt of mine in the backcountry, 13 miles in on horses, grizzly bears, wolves, black bears. There's not a lot of elk back there, but the potential for a giant bull is there. And I may have just found one. You guys are going to have to wait and see, but the guys in the office, they're very excited. They say it's the best episode I've produced. So I'm very excited about that. And then the second film we have is a conservation piece on the sage grouse in Wyoming and kind of the story of the sage grouse conservation, preservation, and what the actual scoopage is with the sage grouse in Wyoming. So kind of a nice little variety.
It's going to be an awesome event. You can get your tickets at eastmans.com/events and sign up for all kinds of different prizes. There's kids areas presented by Rocky Mountain Discount Sports. And it's just going to be a great time. Frontier Brewing, as doors open at 6, films begin at 7. So it's going to be fun, Dan.
Yeah. Yeah. Lots of giveaways. An unbelievable amount of giveaways, really, from Eberly Stock, OnX Maps, Sig Sauer, just for coming to the show. Every ticket holder that's an adult is going to be in the raffle for a silencer from Silencer Central. So that's huge just to show up and then the additional raffles. So yeah, pretty special.
That's awesome. Well, Dan, where can people follow along on your adventures and find you?
Yeah, of course. I'm doing a lot of different things with Eastman's, from YouTube to writing for the magazine. Subscribe to the magazine. Find us on YouTube, Eastman's Hunting on YouTube. That's where most of my videos are going to be. If you YouTube search Dan Picard elk hunting or Dan Picard hunting Eastman's, you're going to find all our videos on there. And so, yeah, those are probably the two best places.
Awesome. Well, Dan Picard, thank you so much, sir. It's always nice to talk with you, and we will see you at Frontier Brewing.
Sounds great, Drew. Sure appreciate you.
Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors with Drew Kirby. If you have a question, want to make a comment, or have an idea for a show topic, message us on the My Country mobile app. Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.